Blog Talk Radio.
The mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to the Hour of Power broadcast coming directly from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, where God get all the glory, the honor, and where he always will get all the praise. This is the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we would like to again to welcome you to the Hour of Power. This morning, we're going to be coming from 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, and this word of God, you know, inspires me every time I read it because it shows that God, the care of God, the love of God, the trust of God, the God, the confidence that we can have in God. And not only that confidence, but the faith that God has in his people and the faith, most of all, that we have in the Almighty God. For the word of God says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and there is nothing too hard for God. This morning, we're going to begin at that first verse, again, of 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smithered Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive and were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. We see the man of God, that he and the men were away. They were away from their wives, from their children. They were gone on a journey, and here they had returned. And when they returned home expecting to embrace their loved ones, to embrace their children and their wives. But when they came back, from their journey that they were on, when they came back, they found that the place that they resided, the place that they lived in, that it was burned with fire. And they returned. The word God says when they came on that third day that the Amalekites had came and had invaded a Ziklag and had smithered. They had burned everything with fire. But I believe even in the midst of that crucial time, in a time when their heart probably was troubled, in a time when they were in sorrow because they didn't know what had happened, but they didn't see their loved one. But yet, even in that, God was with them. God was with their family. And even when we began to read the word of God, when we look at that second verse, it says that the women were taken captive and that they slew not either great or small. They did not take their life. Yes, they were taken captive. They were taken for enslavement. They were taken to be dominated. They were taken as being prisoners. But yet none of them, great or small, were slow. They did not slew any of God, did not move upon their hearts. They kept them from taking the lives of David and his men, of their family and their loved ones. So David and his men, when they came to the city, and when they beheld it, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people that were with them, they lifted up their voice, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been in a situation, have you ever been in a time when things have happened in your life, when you were so grieved, when you were so distressed, when you didn't know what to do, but yet you were just almost at a standstill, all you could do is to cry. All you can do is weep. And I can imagine David and his men as they lifted up their voices. And I imagine that you could hear the voices of all of them weeping. And even though David was their king, though David was over there, yet David wept along with them. And they wept. The word of God said that they wept until they didn't have power to weep again. They was in great sorrow. They shed tears. They were in anguish. They were grieving because they loved one. Somebody that they loved, somebody that David had for a wife. As a matter of fact, it was two of his wives. And then not only that, his children, and not only David's children, but his men. Wives and their children was taken away with from them. What a hurt, what pain that they had experienced to go through such something dramatic as that was. And David's two wives were taken captive. And it tells us that in that sixth verse, and David was greatly distressed for the people's sake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved. Every man, his son, for his daughter, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And it let us know sometimes when they're a person, or that may be people, when they're going through trials, they're going through tribulation, they lashes out at that person that they see that they held accountable for things that may happen in their life. And yet the person not directly responsible, but they lash out to the person that they think that caused the problem. So it didn't matter that David wives was also taken. It didn't matter that his children was also taken. But what all they could see that this Ziklag was burned. The Amalekite, while we were away, while we were on our journey, while we were gone out to fight, yet the enemy have come in. The enemy have come in, and they have taken our wives. They have taken our family, our daughters, and our sons. So yet, in this instant, we see that they were so grieved on the inside that they wanted to stone David, the man of God. They even forgot who the man of God was. The Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. They forgot who the man of God was. They forgot because of the fact they didn't care, because their heart was so was grieving because of the fact that they had lost something that was precious to them. Yes, they was distressed. Yes, they was in pain. I'm quite sure that they had a lot of anxiety going on there. I know that they were sorry for their loved ones that had been taken. I know that their heart was troubled. But when we began to think about the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that the word of God says in the 14th chapter of St. John, it says that let not your heart be troubled, but ye believe in God, believe also in me. And I have to stop even now to let you know that I believe that somebody is troubled this morning, somebody is going through a stress, somebody is going is shedding tears, somebody have grief in their heart, and they're going through grief, a grief type experience. But I want you to know that our trust, our faith, our confidence is in the Almighty God. It's not in man. It's not in man, but it's in God. They looking at David as the one that they wanted to blame for the sorrow and for the grief that they were going through. I know that the Amalekites, they came in. Yes, they intruded upon their family. Yes, they violated the people. They violated by coming in. They trespassed. They forced themselves in order to go in and to do harm, to take and to burn Ziklag. But yet, we serve and almighty God. We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask us. So here we find that David, sometimes we go through things, but sometimes after we done shed those tears, oh my God, every sometime when we done gone through things in our life, when we see things are happening, you have to encourage yourself. You have to come to yourself. You have to get, your spirit has to be revived. Your spirit, you have to have spirit, your spirit has to take confidence in itself, and you have to be strengthened by the Almighty God, because God, you have to remember that God said he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. So David, by him being the leader, by David being the man of God, somebody had to leave. Somebody had to stand up. Somebody had to take the stand. So David, he had to encourage himself. He didn't have anybody around about him that wanted to encourage him, because they were most likely angry with him because of what had happened. But David, the man of God, he decided that I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And I'm telling you this morning that sometimes that you're going to have to encourage yourself. You may not have that husband. You may not have that wife. You may not have that son. You may not have that daughter. You may not have that best friend that you decide to have, and those people around you. You may not have the people in your company. You may have not have that director. You may not have that preacher. You may not have that teacher to encourage you when you want to be encouraged, but yet you have to encourage yourself. What are you going to encourage yourself with? You're going to encourage yourself with the word of God. You're going to know that God, that he is God, and that he is God all by himself. So there's a time that people do grieve. There's a time that we go through things in our life, but then we're going to have to know that God is God, and he's God all by himself. And I want to just let you know, even this morning, that even before, there are times that we may go through affliction, go through things in our stress in our lives. There are times that we're many times before things happen in our lives. We need to know who we can rely on. We need to know who we can depend on. We know that we who we can have confidence in. And that is the Almighty God. So when things happen, you know that God is with you, even though you may be feeling like you're out there by yourself. You got to know that God is with you. And I believe in that 37th Psalm, the word of God says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity, but they shall soon be cut down as the grass, withered as the green herb. But the word of God says, trust in the Lord and do good. And that's what God wants his people to do, to trust in him and to do good. So here David, after he encouraged himself, after he came to himself, after he stopped crying, after he stopped weeping, he came to himself. And then you read there in that seventh verse, it said, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And I thank God for the man of God. I thank God for the word of God. God is letting us know that we, the Bible said, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he said that he will direct our path. David didn't just go after the enemy. He just didn't take off. He didn't just say, men, come on. We're going to get our wives. We're going to go get our children. But we and not go before the Most High God and to know what God wanted them to do. So after David inquired of the Lord, wanted to know from the Lord, shall they pursue? And God let them know that they should pursue, that pursue, and that they should overtake them. And that's what he wanted to know. Yes, and also the word of God let us know that they was able to, with assurance, to know what they were supposed to do. And also, not only that, but recover all what the enemy has taken from you. Everything that the enemy have come in and a sneak attack, everything that they violated, everything that they touched, everything. Yes, I want you to go in and I want you to pursue. I want you to be over the, to be able to overtake them and recover all. And that is in our lives today that God wants us, even the things that the enemy, see, the enemy come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. And so we find here in the word of God that God wants us to be able to recover all. God would give it. Remember when we look at the book of Job, when the enemy came in and the enemy had taken the lives of his children. All his children were taken, his cattle were taken away from him. He had people around him was talking foolish. But yet, because God, he is God and God, all by himself, God was able to restore, to give him even more than he had before because he trusted in God. And that is what we have to do this day, that we're going to have to trust the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God that is mighty in battle, that everlasting God, that Prince of Peace, that Alpha and Omega, that Great Counselor, that everlasting God, that I am, that I am. God wants us to be able to trust him, to look to him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So when David knew that God, after he had asked God what to do, and after he had inquire, he knew that it was all right for him to go, and it was all right for him to go after the enemy. We just can't take off. We can't just do things the way that we want to do them, but we're going to have to ask the Lord. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. And I just thank God for his word this morning today to let it, David, to know what to do, and ask for letting David and his men to know what to do, and letting the people everywhere. I don't know, are you in Texas? I don't know if you're in Chicago. I don't know if you're in California. You may be here in the city of Jacksonville, Palapa. I don't know where you live at today, but I do know that God is everywhere, and I know that God hears your prayer, and I know that God will answer prayer. And I just believe today, whatever that you may be going through today, I want you to be inspired. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to take courage in the Lord, and I want to know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. David needed some strength when that time of trial, in that time of tribulation, in that time when he was grieving, in that time when he was in distress, in that time when he was suffering, he needed God to be on his side. And I thank God that the Lord God was on his side. So, yes, God let him know that, yes, you go ahead and you pursue. That means you go over, you go ahead, you overtake them, you capture them, you chase after them and capture them. And then God let him know that you recover all. So what are you saying? When you recover all, you're going to get back all what the enemy has taken from you. You're going to regain everything that the enemy has put his hand on. You're going to regain everything that the enemy has stolen and taken by just invasion or whatever it was, whatever the enemy invaded into your own place, in your own territory. God is able to do that. Your territory and the place that you live, that place that belongs to you, those things that belong to you, God is letting him know, yes, you go and you recover them. You get those things back. You bring those things. You not only recover, but bring them back. And God was restoring. God was going to restore everything that was taken from David and everything that was taken from his men. See, sometime in a dark time, yes, we've been all through, all have gone through dark times in our lives. But yet, because we go through dark times, it's that through is what you look at, that we're going through it. We're not staying in those dark times, but we are going through them. We're passing through. Why? Because we have a confidence in God. We have that faith in God, that God will always be there, that God will fight our battle. Remember, the battle does not belong to us, but the battle belongs to God, and God is well able. So you got to know that God is well able to fight every battle, no matter what you may be going through today, no matter what you went through on yesterday, no matter what you've gone through maybe in the year of the beginning of the year. I want you to know that God, He is God, and He is God that's able to move on your behalf. So then when we began to look at the word of God, then David, in that ninth verse, so David went, he and his 600 men, and that were taken with him, and came to the brook of Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and his 400 men, but 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook of Besor. Yet it was 600 of them, but 200 of them stayed behind. There's sometimes people in their because of their whatever situation, whatever they're going through, sometimes they may not be able to go to the battle, but yet they're praying, they're interceding, they're standing, they're standing on God's word, and they're believing God. Even these people, they were so faint. Oh, my goodness, I don't know, because they had not eaten, because they were traveling, but yet they weren't able to go with the other men, the other 400, but they stayed there. And I believe that there are people today that they may not be right where you are, but yet their hearts are with you. I don't know who am I talking to today, that you may even have sorrow in your heart because of the fact that you're not able to do certain things that you might desire to do, and that you can't go and be on the forefront and on the front line. But I just believe that God sees your heart. I believe that God knows the heart, that He, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So I'm telling you even now just to take courage, just to know that God, He sees you, and He can see the desires of your heart, and He sees that you want to go forth and that you want to do these things, but because it may be affliction or because of things that have happened that you can't do what you're doing, but God sees that desire in your heart. And I pray even now that God bring healing, that God touch you for every infirmity, every sickness, everything that you may, affliction that you may be going through, even now, that God will touch you, and that God will give you that skin of strength, and that God will give you that hope, and that your heart won't even fail because of the fact that your trust is in God. So yes, they left the 200 men behind, and the other 400, they had gone with David, and they found an Egyptian in the field. That's in that 11th verse, and it brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came upon him, but he had eaten no bread, nor drunken any water in 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And when art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant of the Amalekites. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. And we had made an invasion upon the site of Cherith, and upon the coast that belongs to Judah, and upon the south, and Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said unto him, can thou bring me down to this company? God had like a ram in the bush. God had someone there to let him know exactly where the enemy was. I want you to know today that God knows where the enemy is, and God will lead, God will guide, God will direct. See, the master didn't care anything about this man. He left him. It had he thought anything about him, he would not have left him on the way. He did not leave him with any food or anything like that. But David and his men, when they came in, they were able to minister to him. They were able to give him the food that caused his body to be nourished. And by doing so, they were able to find out where the enemy was. You have to be careful how you treat people. You have to be careful what you do to people. That person that you're mistreating, that person that you're abusing, that person that you misuse is that person that will be the key to your life up there. And here it was that this man, he had the key because if had he not known, he could not lead them to the enemy, to those that had invaded Ziklag. But he had the answer. He knew where they were and where they were headed. And David said to him, "Can thou bring me down to this company?" And he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou will not kill me, nor deliver me unto the hand of my master, and I will bring thee to the company." I believe he had too much of love for his master, who had left him 3 days ago without food, even when he was sick, and just left him there. So he wanted David to swear that you're not going to kill me, nor are you going to deliver me to my master. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad on all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because they had been and they had gone into these different areas, especially they had gone into Ziklag, and they have taken what they want. They have taken, remember, they took David two wives. They took his children along with the other men, all the men that were there. They took their families as well. And yet they were there, and they were sitting, eating, they were drinking. They were rejoicing because all the spoil that they had taken in the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight. When he found out where they were, when he seen where they were, David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save the 400 young men which rode there upon their camels and fled. And when we look at God, this is the greatness of God. This is the power of God. They could not have gone in. They could not overtake the enemy. They could not do anything except it was God Almighty, God mighty in battle. It was God that gave them the insight, was able to get this young men to lead them into the enemy of the camp. And once they was in the enemy of the camp, God had to be with them in order for them to go against the enemy. You can't go against the enemy in your own self. You can't fight the enemy in yourself. Remember, the battle don't belong to you. You need to know God. You need to have God in your heart. You need to have a relationship with him. You got to know that God is on your side. Remember, David didn't take off. He didn't just go against the enemy in itself. No, he inquired of God. God let him know that he were to go and he were to recover all. Yet he found himself in the camp of the enemy. And David, the verse says of God saying, the 18th verse, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. Thank you, Jesus. He was able to rescue his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil or anything that had been taken to them. David recovered all, and David took all the flock and the herd which they had drove before those other captives and said, "This is David's force." And David came to the 200 men that were so faint. Remember the men that was left, those 200 men that were so faint that they couldn't go, they couldn't continue on. And when they couldn't, in that verse, David said, came to the 200 men that were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook of Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. And then came all the wicked men that were of the Isle, of those that David, that went with David, and they said, because they went not with us, we would not give them all of the spoil. And we have recovered, save to every man and his wife and his children, and they may lead them away and depart. You know, our heart has to be right with God. You know, God is wanting his people's heart to be right with him. You know, God has taken them, and God has recovered their wives. God has recovered their children. But yet, the evilness and the wickedness in their heart, because of the fact that they was upset and they was angry because the other 200 didn't go with them, then they wanted not to give them what belonged to them. They, yes, give the wives and give the family, but then we want you all to go depart from us. We don't want you with us. You weren't with us at the fight. You didn't go with us when we invaded the Amalekites. You wasn't with us, so we don't want you with us now. We want you to depart. But David, the wisdom of God, the man of God, the man that had a heart after God, because the word of God let us know that David was a man after his own heart. And then the word of God said in the 23rd verse, it said, then said David, he shall not do so, my brother, with that which the Lord has given us. It was the Lord. You have to know it was God who has to serve us and deliver this company that came against us into our hands. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part, as he that goeth down to the battle, so shall his heart be that careth by the stuff. They shall part alike. Yes, we're going to part alike. We're going to treat them like they have gone down to the battle. No, we know they didn't go to the battle, but we're going to treat them because they watched the stuff. They was with us. And as we said before, that sometimes people may not physically be with you, but they're with you in the spirit. They are praying. They're interceding. They're watching. And that's what these men, I believe that was left behind, I believe that that's what they were doing, although they physically was able to go with them. So David being the man of God that he was, he said in that 23rd verse, let's read that again. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that come against us into your hand. For who will hearken to you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that careth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent to the four. He sent of the four unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the four of the enemy of the Lord. And I just thank God for what example, what a leader of God, that was able to show true leadership and show that pureness of heart. And as leaders and as people of God, we have to be an example to the unbeliever. We have to set things straight. We can't let the crooked prevail. We can't let other people make wrong decisions and lead God people astray or bring about division. And I believe that's what the men that made this, that came up with this idea, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to bring division. They wanted them not to be a part of them anymore because of their because they did not go down to the wall. But I thank God Almighty for God being God. He is God, and He is God by Himself. And I just want you to do today to just to be encouraged. I believe that God want to encourage somebody today to know that you don't have to grieve anymore. You don't have to be in distress, and you don't have to suffer, but you just keep your eyes on God. For the Word of God says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill, will come with my help. My help cometh from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. I believe that if we just keep our eyes upon God, I believe if we just trust the Lord and trust the Lord and depend upon Him, that He will fight every battle for us. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We're getting ready to pray. The Word of God says that men shall always pray and not to faint. So we're getting ready because of the fight that God don't want you to faint. Somebody may be fainting today. Somebody be getting ready to give up. Somebody needs to be encouraged. I mean, somebody just needs to be encouraged today. I want you to know, don't give up. Don't give up. God is on your side. Stay in there. Look to God, who is the author and avenger of faith. Look to God, who is able to bring, to recover all that you may have lost. Don't give up. God wants you to recover, and you can recover it by looking to God, by listening to Him, by praying, by reading your word, and by having that confidence in Him. Our Father, in Jesus' name, Father, even as we pray, God, even now, God, we pray for those, Lord God, that need encouragement today. And God, there are many out there today, God, that need encouragement. They need to know, God, that you're on their side. They need to know, God, that you will never leave them and never forsake them. And God, I believe, God, after they have heard the scripture, God, even, God, if they have heard me preach the unadulterated word today, God, as you have given the words, God, to bring to the people, God, to encourage them. Lord God, I pray, God, for that man. I pray for that woman, God, even right now. God, at the point, God, that they just want to give up. God, their heart been so discouraged, God. They don't know what to do. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, to give them, Father God, what they need today. And God, there may have been people around them that God have not been able, God, and did not encourage them, Father. But Lord, let them know, God, in the name of Jesus, that you are with them. God, that you would not forsake them, Father. And God, that you, God, would bring them through, no matter what they're going through in their lives. Father, I ask thee, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask thee, Father, to strengthen them, Father God, from the crown of the head to the sole of their feet. I bind every work of the enemy, every work of Satan, every satanic force, every work of darkness, every hoodoo, black and white magic, anything, God, that does not line up with thee. I plead your blood, God, upon every daughter, every son, Father, every father, every mother, Lord God, I plead your blood, God, even now, God, upon everyone, God, in Jesus' name, God, that daughter, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that's going through things in her life, Father God, and don't see a way out. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray even now, God, that you would strengthen her, and God, that you would keep her, Father, ever before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, even your eyes is on the sparrow, God, your eyes are upon them, and God, that you're watching over them, Father, even as you watch over that sparrow, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for looking upon the people, for encouraging their hearts today, Father, even when they're in a seem to be a hard place, seeing, God, that they can't, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, go forth. But, Father, we just thank you this morning that there will be a turnaround. God, that you will touch them like never before. And this we thank you. And, God, we praise your name for your people today. And, God, those that are not saved, Lord, I pray, God, even now, Lord, that you would cast every sin into the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. Not your word saying that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. You said, God, that we shall be saved. So, Lord, I found the word today. Lord, I pray even now, God, that those that are backslided from you, God, those, God, that have never been saved, God, those, Father God, that in the Father God, in the position, God, to backslide. Lord God, I pray even now, God, that you would touch their heart. God, that you would touch their mind and their soul. God, in Jesus' name, God, that they, Lord God, will know you, God, that they will build up their most holy faith in thee. And Lord, I ask thee, God, to touch them now. Lord, to give them what they need, how they recover all. In the mighty name of Jesus. And this we thank you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We would like to just take the opportunity and it's time to thank you for joining us this week on the Hour of Power broadcast. Yes, it is the Hour of Power. It is the Hour of Power. God wants to demonstrate his power. God wants you to see that he is the Almighty God. He wants you to see that he is the Alpha and Omega. He wants you to see that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you may ask, above all that you may think, and that there is nothing too hard for him to do. So I want you to know that we are here. We will be here on every Wednesday and Friday morning, and we will be preaching the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. Yes, we will be here to encourage your heart. Yes, we will be here to give direction. We will be here to let you know what thus says the word of God. So join us, please, on this next week, Wednesday and Friday, for the Hour of Power. It has been the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. God bless.